Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning is the parable of the weeds as recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Please be seated. In Holy Scripture, the kingdom of heaven can refer to several different things. First and foremost, it refers to God's righteous rule and reign over all creation, the heavens, the earth, and all that are therein contained. But the kingdom of heaven can also refer to that time after Jesus' return on Judgment Day, the resurrection of the dead, when God rules in his new heaven and his new earth. And the kingdom of heaven can also refer to an action rather than a place. It refers to Christ Jesus himself, God, entering into his creation to perform kingly duties, such as working through his words and deeds on earth. At a quick glance, the parable of the weeds seems quite similar to the parable of the sower that we had last week. Both have agricultural themes, both have sowers and seed, but the two parables are very, very different, so we must distinguish between the two. The parable of the sower teaches the creative and effectiveness of the seed, God's holy word. The sower is whoever proclaims God's word of salvation, and we know we heard about the four different types of soil in which not all of those soils produced a crop. But today, in the parable of the weeds, there is a contrast between good and evil, utilizing two oppositional sowers, each with their own type of seed. Jesus begins the parable saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." The kingdom of heaven in this context is God's divine action taking place on earth. God is the sower of the seed. It is his good seed. And that seed is all those of you and all believers in Christ Jesus around the world. You see, you are not good seed in and of yourself, but for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death on Calvary's cross, God sees you as righteous, and he has made you good seed. And he has planted his Holy Spirit into your heart, bringing you to faith. And then he has planted you in this world, in your own vocation, your station of life. And in that planting, he would have you to bear fruits of faith, almsgiving, proclaiming the name of Jesus, all while performing works and deeds because of the gracious love God has shown you. Scripture teaches us that the Christian is supposed to be salt to the earth and shine light into this dark and unsavory world, not because it earns you favor, but because it's God's good and gracious will for your lives. In our parable, the other sower, it's kind of obvious, it is the devil. He is the evil prince of the world and the sower of the weeds, which those weeds are the sons of the devil. Those folks are false Christians. They are hypocrites and all the unbelievers in the world. The devil sneaks in and plants his deadly weeds so close to the wheat that their roots become entangled in one another. So that if you were to pull out a weed, for sure, you're going to pull out the good wheat. The weed that Jesus refers to in our parable, scholars suspect that it's a weed called darnel. It grows deep with strong roots, and it grows quite frequently in many of the various regions of the world where wheat is a crop. And it looks so much like wheat, many people call it false wheat, because it's only after the head appears, the fruit appears, that the weeds are recognized for what they truly are. And that's the way it is in the visible church. You see, the visible church, that is, wherever Christ's people are gathered, there are weeds. The church has false Christians and hypocrites who put on the false appearance of being virtuous while truly living a life of unbelief. The hypocrites have been deceived into not fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things, but loving their own desires, trusting in their own works and efforts of salvation, trusting in the treasures and the pleasures of the world. The false Christians couldn't care less about God's commandments. They have no care about eternal life. They don't believe that Jesus is God's Son. They don't believe he worked any miracles. And most especially, they believe that Jesus never rose from the dead, because how many people have we witnessed raised from the dead? Now, many of these people were true believers at one time, but their faith was choked out by the desires and the things of the world. They remain in the church, many of them, so that they don't disappoint their families. Why cause a schism in the family? Others tolerate the preaching and teaching so they can experience the social aspect of the church. Who doesn't love potlucks and fellowship? Others enjoy being around groups of people for networking purposes and discussion of social issues. And still others are drawn to the church because they have influence. They want to be the big fish in the small pond. Believe it or not, in our world, yes, there are even pastors who are poisonous weeds. I believe I've mentioned before that there's this online community called the Clergy Project. It says that it is for current and former religious professionals without supernatural beliefs. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. And the banner across the top of their website proudly states, "We've reached 1,000 participants, 1,000 sowers of the weeds across the world. Deadly and poisonous weeds from all denominations who no longer believe in God, posing as pastors because, let's face it, they need a job, they need benefits. Why would they want to go back to school and be retrained when they have a perfectly fine paying vocation? And unfortunately, there are times when you and I tend to be just like those weeds in God's harvest field. Those are the times when you want to make exceptions to God's word, what God commands you to do and not do. Well, if you don't want to hear what God has for you to say, you bury your head in the sand and do as you wish because, well, you know, if my head in the sand, no one's going to recognize me as a false Christian. It's those times when you try to put yourself first before your neighbor while you try to exploit him behind his back rather than fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things. So how are you and I supposed to tell the difference between the false Christians and the hypocrites and the true believers? Well, Jesus teaches us that a tree is known by its fruit. Genuine believers will be known by their fruits of faith, that fruit that flows out from the love that they have for their Savior, while the hypocrites will be known by their fruits of selfishness, greed, and self-indulgence. The believer will turn away from their sinful ways, repent, and try to live a better life. They will stand on the objective truth and promises that God has revealed in Holy Scripture. All the time, the hypocrite and the unbeliever, they stand on subjective feelings, touchy-feely, what makes them feel better in the whims of culture. The believer stands justified before Christ, Christ alone by faith. The hypocrite, on the other hand, tries to self-justify, pointing to their own good works and deeds as justification before God. I'm sure you've heard this story many, many times before about the man who was invited to come to church. And the man replied, "Well, I would never join that church because it's got way too many hypocrites." And the other fellow says, "Well, come on in. We always have room for one more." A hypocrite is defined as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. And yes, it is true, there are hypocrites in the church. But that's not your problem. The hypocrites are not my problem. Now that might make you scratch your head. Why do I say that? Well, we look to our parable today. Notice what the master does in the parable. He's not upset about the weeds being sown amongst the wheat. He's not concerned. He doesn't say, "Go in, you got to get those weeds out of there." He's patient. He tells the servants, "No, don't pull out the weeds because you might pull out the good fruit, the wheat. Let them grow till they mature, ready for harvest. And at the harvest, the reapers will separate the weeds from the wheat, the believers from the unbelievers." You see, that master in our parable is your Father in heaven, who is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger, steadfast in love. He works according to his own timetable, not ours. He desires that all people come to the knowledge of the truth, come to faith in Jesus Christ, and be saved. And it is God's word alone that has the power to convert and regenerate weeds into wheat. Obviously, you and I don't have the power. I just got to go out and look at my garden in the backyard. I can't generate hardly anything. But it's God's word alone that can regenerate weeds into wheat. For sinners like you and me, this is a great comfort. It should call each of us to repentance, fall on our knees before our Savior and ask for forgiveness and receive that forgiveness that he has in his holy absolution. God graciously pours that out for each one of us. And it should strengthen us to patiently endure the evils in the world, knowing that Christ died for all mankind, even those people over there that you can't stand, even those obvious false Christians or unbelievers. Christ died for them, and it is he wants them to come to faith. He wants them to come to faith that by the grace of God, some of those weeds will become believers by means of working through God's effective word, his creative word. Now, to be sure, there are many passages in Scripture that stress throwing out the leaven, casting out the immoral person from the congregation. The pastor is called to loose the sins of those who should be forgiven, but bind the sins of the unrepentant. But God's people must be slow to anger. We must take care not to quickly root out and cast out the hypocrite, giving them a chance to be regenerated by the word. They first need to hear the truth spoken in Christian love, calling them to repentance, calling them to return to the Lord, their God, who loves them and who sent his Son to die for them, especially since you and I are no different than they are. We are just as sinful and just as guilty justly deserving eternal damnation. We're all hypocrites, infected from that original sin that has been passed down from Adam. St. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." You know, we confess in the creed that it's Jesus Christ alone who has all authority to judge, the living and the dead. He will proclaim that final judgment. And that's where the reapers come in our parable this morning. The reapers are God's angels who will gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the master's barn. You see, for you and all who believe in Christ for their salvation, the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So how can this be good news to the believer? Well, it's because you can live each day in your baptismal grace. Trusting in the promises God has made you in baptism, while looking forward to that new heaven and that new earth, without worrying about the causes of temptation and sin in the world. Because you know in that new heaven and new earth, there will be no temptation and sin. There will be no more suffering. Jesus will wipe every tear from every eye. And on that day, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And Jesus closes us out by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." Meaning, you have faith, trust in Jesus' words. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so repent and believe in the gospel. God sows his good seed by means of his gospel, and it is God alone who can regenerate weeds into wheat. And as a baptized, believing child of God, you're no longer a weed. You are wheat. You cannot make yourself righteous, but God did that to you in the holy waters of baptism. And he continues to nurture and sustain you in word and sacrament, namely in the preaching of Jesus' gospel and in the confession and absolution, baptism and the Lord's Supper. All these things strengthen your faith, forgive your sins, and you are bathed in the blood of Christ Jesus shed on Calvary's cross for you. And you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, so that on judgment day, when those angels come, they look at you and they see Jesus, because you are clothed in his righteousness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is true, unfortunately, that the church has hypocrites and false Christians, including you and me. But as a believer in Christ Jesus, and for the sake of that crucified and resurrected Savior of the world, God sees you as righteous. In your old Adam, you are a sinner. But in Christ Jesus, you are proclaimed a saint. You are righteous, righteousness sent through Christ Jesus. By the grace of God and by the power of the blood shed on Calvary's cross, you have been declared not guilty of your sin. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.